Please be seated. Good morning again. It's great to have you with us this morning. If you are visiting with us, we have been going through a sermon series on Ecclesiastes called Control is an Illusion, Trust God. And last week, we had this, it was something. We had this sermon called Humans Don't Make No Sense, a great grammatically correct titled sermon. And so before I read this morning, here's something I want you to pay attention to. Okay, so if we don't make sense, right, as humans, like we our thoughts and our actions are all over the place. Think about that confession that we did earlier. Like there is so much of us that where we just contradict ourselves so often. Things that we believe, things that we love, things that we value, we can begin to use those things and think that we're better than others, that we can control life. And the what Solomon is getting at again and again is that everything that we use to try to make life work, to try to control it, it's vapor. We hold on to it as tight as we can, and it slips through our grasp. So control is an illusion, trust God. And he does this in several ways. So he talks about pleasure, money, knowledge. And then he gets into what we're going to read this morning about power. And this is another hard passage. I'm not going to be able to get to everything that I wish I could, and I'm not going to be able to say everything that I wish I could. And there's even probably maybe something that I say that might be hard to hear. And so if that's the case, let's talk more about it. But we'll dive in and see what happens here. So if humans don't make no sense, how do we live under authority, and how do we give authority? How do we deal with people who have power over us, and how do we deal with the power that we have over others? So pay attention for that as we read Ecclesiastes chapter 8. Who is like the wise, and who knows the interpretation of a thing? A man's wisdom makes his face shine, and the hardness of his face is changed. I say, keep the king's command because of God's oath to him. Be not hasty to go from his presence. Do not take your stand in an evil cause, for he does whatever he pleases. For the word of the king is supreme, and who may say to him, what are you doing? Whoever keeps a command will know no evil thing, and the wise heart will know the proper time and the just way. For there is a time and a way for everything. Although man's trouble, or that word probably translated there is probably evil, although man's evil lies heavy on him. For he does not know what is to be, for who can tell him how it will be? No man has power to retain the spirit or power over the day of death. There is no discharge from war, nor will wickedness deliver those who are given to it. All this I observed while applying my heart to all that is done under the sun, when man had power over man to his hurt. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Let me pray, and then we'll dive in. Come, Creator Spirit, source of life, sustain us when our hearts are heavy and our wells have run dry. Sustain us because you are the Father's gift. And with him, who is our living water, Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. Diane Langberg has recently written a book called Redeeming Power. Understanding Authority and Abuse in the Church. It is a It's not an easy read. It's pretty difficult at times. But at the very beginning, she tells a story of she and her husband are traveling throughout the Middle East. Her son works there. She doesn't say what he says but or what he does, but he works there. And they have an opportunity to go and visit with a sheikh, with a prince in the Middle East. Now, just stop and think about this for a second. Diane Langberg, who has two PhDs, an incredibly gifted and smart woman, she knows that the culture in the Middle East is a little different, and she knows that she is going to have to defer and going to have to do some things that she might not normally do. So, for example, her son tells her, hey, when you enter into the palace and into the throne room, don't speak until you're spoken to. Don't reach out your hand. Don't sit down. Basically, don't do anything until the sheikh tells you that it's okay. Now, imagine yourself in that situation. And I just want to say up front, everything in me is a rebel. I think rules are stupid. I don't obey traffic laws. I don't like people to tell me what to do. And so even in that situation, even as a dude in the Middle East, like that, there still would be some things that I would have to do. But what the point that Diane goes on to make is that she's willing to do it. Why? For the sake of her son. Now, that's important. And this is why I want to frame this sermon with that in mind. Everything that we do, whether it's under the power of someone else or we have power over someone else, every aspect of those two things has to be done in light of the Son, in light of Jesus, the true King. Now, please keep that in your head as we go through this. That hopefully will direct everything that we say and do. Now, I normally, as you know, do not have an outline. I normally do not have 3 points. But I do this morning. And will I keep to them? Probably not. But just so you know, maybe it'll help you to follow along a little bit. So, in the first part, what we're going to talk about is the need for wisdom to submit to power. In the second part, we're going to talk about the need for wisdom to have power. And then we'll end with the one with the true power. So wisdom to submit to power, wisdom to have power, and then the one with the true power. Look at verse 1. Who is like the wise and who knows the interpretation of a thing? A man's wisdom makes his face shine, and the hardness of his face is changed. I say, and I keep arguing that I think this is Solomon writing this at the end of his life. I say, keep the king's command because of God's oath to him. And then he says, here are some things that you shouldn't do. Don't be hasty to go from his presence. Don't take your stand in evil cause, for he does whatever he pleases. For the word of the king is supreme. And who may say to him, what are you doing? All right, just give this a little context. Solomon is writing to those who are under the power or the authority of the king. Now remember, this is, oh man, my Bible history is awful. This is 900 BC, roughly. And they did not have a democratic government in Israel. It was one guy, he was the king, and everybody was supposed to submit to him. And keep in mind also that this isn't just some rando that got to be king of Israel. This is God's chosen one. That's hard to swallow, right? Because if you know anything about Solomon, if you know what he was like, The question, of course, is like, well, are we supposed to submit? Are we supposed to be under the authority, the power of this guy? Just to give you a little bit of context, this was written in Deuteronomy chapter 17. So this was several hundred years before Solomon. And Moses writes this in Deuteronomy: when you come to the land that the Lord your God is giving you, and you possess it and dwell in it, and then say, I will set a king over me, like the nations that are around me. You may indeed set a king over you, whom the Lord your God will choose. One from among your brothers you shall set as king over you. You may not put a foreigner over you who is not your brother. Only he must not acquire many horses for himself, or cause the people to return to Egypt in order to acquire many horses. Since the Lord has said to you, you shall never return that way again. Now, what does that mean? Who cares? But in 1 Kings, it says this: Solomon also had 40,000 stalls of horses for his chariots and 12,000 horsemen. Going back to Deuteronomy: and he shall not acquire many wives for himself, lest his heart turn away, nor shall he acquire for himself excessive silver or gold. What we know is that Solomon had a few wives, 700, and he was very wealthy. In other words, Solomon was not a faithful king. And here the scripture is calling us to keep the king's command. Again, I'm just trying to give you some context here. Don't be hasty to go from his presence. Don't take your stand in evil cause, for he does whatever he pleases. For the word of the king is supreme, and who may say to him, what are you doing? Now, there are several times throughout scripture where there is the command to submit, to be under the power of authority, whoever that might be. Paul says it, Peter says it, Jesus doesn't say it directly, but he alludes to it when he talks about paying taxes to Caesar. This type of thinking, to be under the authority of anyone, it is anathema to 21st century Americans or Westerners, right? You've seen the bumper sticker, question authority, right? Maybe you've also seen the other bumper sticker that says, who are you to tell me to question authority? We live under this illusion that we are the autonomous self. No one makes decisions for me. No one influences how I think. And look, I think we'd all love to believe that, but that is not true. I remember one time there's a someone in Salt Lake that was running for for a certain party for mayor, I think. And she wrote an opinion piece, and her whole opinion piece was about, I am my own person. I don't let anyone influence me. And I was just like, man, that is a myth. We are all influenced by something. We are all going to submit to something. The question is what and who will it be? I'm at a point in my life where I need AI, and so I got on Google and I typed in submission to authority. That's all I wrote, and it spit this out: whether explicitly acknowledged or not, it appears everyone indeed submits to some form of authority. This submission can manifest itself in diverse ways, ranging from formal structures like legal systems and governments, to less formalized influences such as social norms, cultural traditions, and even personal charisma. And then it goes on to say this: even acts of rebellion or nonconformity upon deeper analysis might reveal an underlying submission to a different, perhaps self-defined authority. Now, I was in Spokane this past week visiting my oldest son, who's getting married September 6th, and I'm not proud of him or anything, but we were going down this road, and there were four teenage boys that went by, and they were all on little trick bikes, and they were all wearing white tank tops, and they all had their hair cut the same way. And I guarantee if you pulled each one of them aside and questioned their individuality and their conformity, they would deny it as hard as they possibly could. They would each say, I'm my own person. I think my own way. What Solomon is getting at here is the need for wisdom to submit to any kind of authority. The reason I think this is so hard, and the reason why I actually would encourage you, if you get a chance to read Langberg's book, is because so often that authority is abused. Power is meant to be able to bless. Power is meant to give. Jamar Tisby, if you've ever read anything by him, he says that. Let me find it here. Sorry. As human beings, we have been given power, and that power can be used to serve or to oppress, to be a blessing or to be a curse, to free people to use your gifts in a way that God has intended them, or to try and control them because of your own fears and insecurities. The question then for you and me is, will we not only be willing to submit to power over us? We do what Solomon says here, just some things that he says. Don't be hasty to go from his presence. Don't take your stand in the evil cause, for he does whatever he pleases. The word of the king is supreme, and you may say to him, you may not say to him, what are you doing? In other words, slow down. Our tendency, I think, is just to react to anything and everything. It is hard to submit, especially when we feel like the powers that are over us are not faithful, that they're not using their power well. Look, wouldn't it have been great for the two most powerful men in the world to have come out of their meeting and said, you know what? We think that maybe war isn't the best thing. And so we're going to put an end to it. They have the power to do that. And they continue to choose not to. What do we do with that? I don't know. How do we submit to that authority that is over us? Wendell Berry, if you ever read any of his stuff, he says that typically when we have big problems, what we try to do is find bigger solutions, which then just lead to bigger problems. And so maybe for us, the people that are in this room, I think we do a couple of things. I think number one, we pray, right? We have to pray for our leaders. But number two, maybe we start to limit on, okay, we're going to think about how we submit to power here and authority here with one another. And sometimes that takes wisdom. All the time that takes wisdom. Sometimes that takes slowing down. How am I going to respond? How am I going to react? What does it mean to submit to power in light of the Son? All right, the second thing is, and this will probably be shorter, this is why I don't like outlines, because my first point's always the longest. But wisdom to submit to power and wisdom to have power. Whom do you have power over? We all have power. This may sound crazy, but give me a second. Matten has power. When that kid wakes up at 3 o'clock in the morning and he's screaming and crying, he has the power to make his grown adult parents get up in the middle of the night and take care of him. flip side of that, though, is think about how vulnerable that little baby is. The thing about both submitting to power and having power over another is the idea of vulnerability. And some of you have been vulnerable to folks who have abused you. And look, I know the word abuse gets thrown around a ton, but that doesn't mean that we blow it off or ignore it. Like, the church has to be the one place where we actually deal with abuse and trauma. And so what can happen then is that you submit yourself to someone who should be taking care of you, and then they abuse you. And then you're so afraid and so insecure that when the opportunity comes for you to have power, it's very possible that you do the same thing. We have to be honest about that. That was not in my notes. Sorry, that was. And so that is, if that has happened to you and in a room this size with this many people, there's a really good chance it has. How do you now have power over others? What does that wisdom look like? Look what Solomon says starting in verse 5. Whoever keeps a command will know no evil thing, and the wise heart will know the proper time and the just way. For there is a time and a way for everything, although man's evil lies heavy on him. For he does not know what is to be, for who can tell him how it will be? No man has power to retain the spirit or power over the day of death. Notice the transition that Solomon makes there. In the first few verses, he's talking about how we respond to the king, the one who has power over us. And then in verses 7 and 8, he says, for he does not know what is to be. In verse 8, no man has power to retain the spirit. So what Solomon is doing there, he's grouping all of us together. Whether you submit to authority or you have authority, it takes wisdom to recognize your limits. Both the limits of the one who has power over you, they can't know everything, they can't do everything, they can't get everything right. But then also know the limits of the ones with whom you have power over. To have wisdom in this situation then means that you cannot control the person whom you have authority over. I have four children. And at one point we had four children that were six and under at the same time. And it was crazy town. And everything in me wanted to control how things were going to go. I'll never forget the first night we brought Josh home from the hospital. He didn't make a peep. And I was like, man, I got this thing figured out. Like, we're going to be good here. And then the second night, when my mother-in-law was in town, he would not stop crying. And it didn't matter what we did. Everything in me wanted to be able to control that, to direct that. But wisdom says when you have power over someone, you recognize their limits. You recognize your own limits. You can't retain the spirit. You don't have power over the day of death. You do not have control. And if you're a boss, you know that. If you manage people, you know that. If you're a parent, you know that. If you have friends, you know that. We don't have the power to control people. Now, those who abuse power, that's obviously what they try to do. They have been given power because they're human. They're created in God's image. And they use it to oppress. They use it to be a curse. They They do it to dominate or to coerce. But they don't use it with wisdom. Regardless of whom you have power over, wisdom demands, in light of the Son, that you use it to bless and to free and to serve. Because that is what the true King does. In Matthew writes this. He's quoting Jesus. Jesus says this. The queen of the south will rise up at the judgment with this generation and condemn it. For she came from the ends of the earth to hear the wisdom of Solomon. And behold, something greater than Solomon is here. I want you to think about the way that Jesus used power. So he's God in the flesh, right? Like he could have done anything to anybody at any time. He could have controlled his disciples, he could have controlled those who hated him. And yet what he does time and time again is he uses his power to serve, to give it away. Remember when the disciples were fighting over who was going to be the greatest and who was going to sit at Jesus' right hand and left hand? His admonition to him, to them, his challenge to them was, look, you're not going to be like everyone else. You're not going to use your power to lord it over people, because the Son of Man came to seek and save what is lost. He used his power to give rest. He used his power to wash feet. Think about that for a second. And think about whose feet he was washing. He used his power to give up his life willingly. He uses his power to dine with his enemies. He was a king who was meek. And I want to stop there for a second, because I think oftentimes we can use that word meek to mean kind of wimpy and let people walk over you. But what it really means is it means controlled power. So think of Gandalf. Think of Dumbledore. They had a way, like they were incredibly powerful people, and yet they controlled it. You could sense it, but they controlled it. So he was a king who was meek. He was a king who heals, uses his power to heal. The king who uses his power to have compassion. The king who asked you to obey, to submit to his authority. Why? Because you love him. And because he loves you. He doesn't force it on you. He doesn't come in guns a-blazing. He doesn't abuse it. He simply asks, will you submit to me out of love? That's power. I'll end with this. Several years ago, I was able to tour Windsor Palace, Windsor Castle in England. It's like the king's, I don't know, spring home or something. And as you're walking through it, like, you're just amazed by obviously all the wealth and all the beauty that is there. But I won't ever forget walking down the hallway, and there were two rooms that really caught my attention. Number one was the throne room. Like, in this room was the actual throne where the king or queen at the time would sit for whatever reason. And then the other room was the banquet room. Huge long table, chairs all set up. And both of those rooms were blocked off. You couldn't get to them. We weren't powerful enough to enter those rooms. The beauty of Jesus, of the true King, is that the throne room and the banquet table, they are never blocked off. He asks you to come right up to the throne of grace to receive mercy and help in time of need. He invites you to the banquet table with nothing hindering you. He says, come and eat with me. Dine with me. And in my power, I will strengthen and I will nourish you. I will give to you. That is the King to whom we are asked to submit. It's not easy. You know this. I know this. There's nothing about the gospel that we can muster up on our own strength. And this is why the King continues to open himself up to you and give you himself. Will you submit to that? Let me pray. Jesus, man, this is not easy. It's not easy at all. And so help us, we pray, by your power, by your grace, that we would be so convinced and secure in your love that we would willingly submit to whatever you ask of us. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.